Stay tuned for Money Talk, an informative and educational show that's all about money and investments, from 401ks to IRAs to insurance. Your host is Dan Witham, a Wall Street veteran with over 25 years of experience in the securities industry. Dan is a branch manager with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individuals. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. All investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Now, here's Money Talk.
Good Sunday morning to you. My name is Russell Mills, and this is Money Talk, live and local in the big city of Tulsa, with our host, Mr. Dan Witham. Remember, if you have questions today, we can always text Dan at 95920. And every week, Dan gives away free books, and this one's got a title that I'm going to ask you to explain. Go ahead.
I like this title, Russell. But I have to say, we have to give a disclaimer. Don't try this at home. Please don't try this at home. The book is called Juggling with Knives, Smart Investing in the Age of Volatility.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me the after the colon part. So you told me Juggling with Knives, and I'm like, that sounds like a dangerous book.
That's right. And that's why I say don't try this at home. It's probably not a good idea to try it at home.
The colon, it says?
Smart Investing in the Age of Volatility. This book is all about volatility from China to the U.S. financial system to the global central banks.
Middle East.
Doing their crazy things.
Washington,
this
D.C.
week, the Middle East.
Volatility is a thing these days.
Iran, Iraq, you take your pick. It doesn't matter which one. Pick a country in the Middle East. They're bound to be volatile, I think, over time. And it also talks about the aging of population in the world and the resulting struggle between young and old monetarily, financially, and health-wise, as well as a lot of other things.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This is a very interesting book that goes into one of my favorite subjects, Russell, our emotionally draining response to volatility, how it makes us do, or I shouldn't say makes us do, it leads us to irrational decisions, which we've talked about a lot on this show.
And about kind of a theme.
and how we let volatility rule our brain and our minds and our bodies. We let it take over at times, which it leads us down to a dangerous path, to say the least. You know, I've talked about this numerous times, and that's what this book talks about a lot, is how to not let that happen to you and not let fear take over your mindset or your investment methodology, if you will. Some of the chapters in the book, Russell, I like the first one. It's called The Volatility of Volatility, which I think is very true because, as I've said, volatility changes. It's not static, so it changes over time. And then he says, dividend stocks are a way to beat market volatility is one of the chapters. Houses as a financial asset. You found out with your mother-in-law, I think it was?
Yes.
The house can be a great financial asset.
Yes, and is going to help her stay in that house for quite a while. Yeah,
absolutely. Volatility rises when there is no place to hide, which I think is absolutely true. That's what we saw in 2008. There was no place to hide. All stocks went down. The correlations all went to one, things like that. High-quality debt is, there's a shortage of high-quality debt today, according to the author. Improving a traditional stock-picking strategy and the not-so-random walk on the long side of stocks. But there's a book called A Random Walk Down Wall Street, and that's what they're referring to there. We'll send you a free copy of this book and information on our Dow 10 strategy, which just finished a banner year, Russell, up 32% for the year last year. Beat the S&P and the Dow for the 21st year in a row. So it's on quite a roll. We'll send you the information on that in the book. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. It is the weekend, so you will get our voicemail. I'm not in the office today, and it appears I will not be there this afternoon.
So you might be driving around in a patrol vehicle.
I'll be out in Creek County probably this afternoon. Anyhow, just leave us your name and address when you get our voicemail, and we'll send that book and the information out to you. The number again, 918-398-8387. And I'm sure we'll give it out a few more times in the show.
Guaranteed.
Before the show's over, knowing how we usually do. The Dow 10 is doing really, really well, Russell. I'm very pleased with it.
So talk a little more about that strategy, sir. You said 32%.
For the year. For 2019.
For 2019.
Yes.
That is, if you started with $100, you ended up with
132.
Okay, so that is like a 32. That's huge. So, is how much money does it cost to get in? Is that where I should put all my money? Sounds like I should just do that and nothing else. Why would I do anything else?
Well, and I like the strategy that, you know, there's an upside and a downside to the strategy, and I'll tell you what I think both are off the top here. The upside is the potential is for good returns, and you own quality stocks. It only buys 10 Dow Jones stocks, hence the name Dow 10.
Okay, so it starts with
the Dow 30. is our universe. That's our universe.
30 best performing.
The biggest companies.
Biggest
in the
companies.
Biggest
in the
companies
Dow.
In the US, okay. In a market capitalization
as far
from
as
a market
money.
Cap standpoint.
Okay.
Right. So we start with companies like Apple, Cisco, Chevron, Coca-Cola, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. These little no-name companies, you know, nobody's ever heard of course. So
ones you can pretty well figure are going to be around.
Right. And so then we take them and we look at the return on equity, and we also look at cash flow per share. And those are the two metrics we value them by, and we filter them by, I should say. So we end up with 10 stocks at the end of the process. We buy them and we hold them for a year and a day so we can get long-term capital gains. And then we repeat the process every year. Now, in a typical year, we'll have about three of these stocks drop out and be replaced by three new stocks, which means you have the seven or eight that are going to stay in the Dow 10 basically each year and roll over to the next year. The longer the stocks stay in, typically the bigger our gains are. Okay, so you want a stock staying there for a couple of years. Some of the Dow stocks last year had a really, really good year. One of them in particular was Apple. Apple had a great year. Apple was up 85%
really?
For the year. Yes.
In 2019?
Yes.
What did they do? They didn't come out with the next new thingy? Or
they just kept doing what they do. They kept selling iPhones and iPads. And you know, they execute. This is a company that knows how to execute what they do. And if you look at all the technology that goes into their manufacturing of their iPhones and their iPads, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but if you look at what's behind it, they are so, so specific about their specs and about how everything works. Like on a typical iPhone, I read an article about them once. On a typical iPhone, they have a computer that scans 700 different pieces of glass to see which one will fit best in that iPhone for every single iPhone they make.
Wow.
Now, all the pieces of glass, as you and I know, are cut to the same spec, right?
But within microns.
Right, so you wouldn't think there'd be any difference between those pieces of glass because they're all cut to the exact same specs. In this day and age, you'd think there'd be the same thickness, same everything. But Apple actually looks at 700 of those for each phone that they make, and they try to fit the one that's going to fit best in that phone. So that's how specific they are, and that probably has a lot to do with their quality of their product, why their products last so long and are so durable. You know, I take the iPad that I have everywhere. I've got a waterproof case on it. It goes in the tub. It goes everywhere with me. I've yet to ever harm one of those things or to see it really get hurt. And so, you know, they make a good product. Apple just makes a very good product. And last year they were able to execute and do very well. And, you know, Samsung kind of stumbled with that exploding phone issue.
Was that last year?
That was a couple years ago. But that probably didn't help them any in terms of market share. Not that Samsung's hurting. They're not. They make a great phone. And I'm not putting Samsung down. Don't get me wrong. They do make a fantastic phone. So I just can't use the Android system. I can't figure out how to use it.
If you are an I person, going Android is a stretch. It takes a while. It's a learning curve, but it goes both ways. I've done both. I've carried both, so I know. All right, so let's go back to the Dow 10 for just a second. So you've got your 10 best companies,
right?
And you. Because, I mean, it made 32% last year, but is it also at high risk for losing a lot at one time? I guess.
Not necessarily. See, that's the thing is, the downside to this strategy is, I mentioned the upside, but the upsides were, you know, good returns and great quality stocks. The downside to the strategy is it's going to be more volatile than owning most exchange-traded funds or something like that. Because you're owning individual stocks, so you're going to have more movement in the prices. Because an exchange-traded fund or a mutual fund will typically have 100 to 500, maybe even 1,000 stocks in it. So it's not going to move a whole lot. Whereas in the Dow 10, you'll get movement in your portfolio. The nice part of it is, you know, in a year like last year, most of those months are almost all the months were up. And so it just continues to go on and on and on.
Which your phone does not ring, I would guess, when the stocks are going up.
Right. No, it doesn't ring much when the stocks are going up. You're right. When the market's going up, nobody really pays attention to it very closely. But, you know, the other thing is, if the market goes down and you own Apple, you're not going to freak out about Apple. You don't think Apple's going bankrupt anytime soon, just like Coca-Cola. Apple is one of the strongest companies in the world. It's actually the biggest market cap company in the world right now. So there really isn't a lot of fear of Apple going out of business tomorrow or anytime soon. You know, a company has $100 billion in cash in the bank. They're pretty solvent, I would say.
Yeah, they'll be able to ride it out.
They'll be able to pay their bills next month, I think so.
So ironically, while it's one of the more volatile offerings, maybe it's also the one that you have the least concerns about in terms of
absolutely.
That volatility?
Yes. And, you know, I don't really worry about the volatility of the Dow 10 because I know the stocks are going to be there. And I know that over time, the strategy performs well. And I expect that to do that. And I can sit on a stock like Coca-Cola or Apple for a couple of years if I have to. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. So that gives me a lot of peace of mind. And I think that allows people to put up with the volatility more. And I think that's what helps, which is where our mindset, you know, it's just the way you look at it. So it's all got to do with mindset. Whereas if you own something you don't know or haven't heard of and it goes down, you're probably going to sell it. Does that make sense?
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, that kind of fits in with our theme for today and the book for today, which is called Juggling with Knives. And you can get your copy of it absolutely free by calling Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Or maybe you'd like to learn more about that electronically traded fund, the Dow 10 strategy that he uses. Well, you're going to get that information as well. The book and the info, all free. 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and number because it's Sunday and Dan is not there. Okay, you're listening to Money Talk here on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk. Ah, there's some old-time Oklahoma music right there, right? Patsy Cline, I believe. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to Money Talk here on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk. I'm Russell Mills. We are live and local with Mr. Dan Witham this morning, as we are pretty much every darn Sunday. Dan with LPL Financial gives away books as part of the show, and we always like to remind folks how to get one, so let's do that now.
Sure, absolutely. And the book is called Juggling with Knives, Smart Investing in the Age of Volatility. We'll send you this free copy of this book that teaches you all about how not to let volatility rule your investment process. He also shows you how to set up an investment process to prepare for volatility in the markets, which many people do expect this year because we have an impeachment and we also have that election.
And a presidential election November. And goodness knows what else.
Yeah, who knows what else happened in the meantime, where else we'll go to war, what we'll do. So anyhow, it's all free along with the information on the Dow 10 that we're going to talk about right now, and we've talked about a little bit. We'll talk more about it right now, but we'll send you the information for free and the book. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail. Two things, name and address, okay? And we tell you on the voicemail what to leave in case you forget. It tells you.
So you will get a reminder.
Yeah, you'll get a reminder when you hear my voice on there on the voicemail. And just leave us your name and address, and we'll send that book and the information out to you. Russell, I'm going to talk about a couple of the stocks that we had in the portfolio last year. I already mentioned one. Of course, Apple is one of them. Mm-hmm. Little company called American Express, which you might have heard of. Mm-hmm. Walt Disney, which you're probably familiar with. I know you're probably a subscriber to them, aren't you?
I am not, actually.
Oh, I'm surprised. Okay.
No, I'm busted, but okay. No.
Cisco Systems, of course, Home Depot, United Healthcare, United Technology, IBM, Intel, a couple little startup computer companies out there doing pretty well.
They're slugging away a little.
Yes, they are.
Bless their hearts.
And these, you know, the thing I like about these companies is people know them, they understand them, and they don't panic. They are comfortable owning Apple or Coca-Cola or Goldman Sachs, and they just don't freak out. And in bad markets, that makes all the difference. You know, it's not your performance in good markets that matters. It's really your performance in what you do in bad markets that matters. What your personal behavior is, I should say, not performance, but your behavior.
Talking about markets. As an investor.
Right, as an investor. And I'm talking about what your behavior should be. And in the bad markets is when it's tough. In the good markets, it's easy. You know, like you said, my phone doesn't ring when the market's going up. But in the bad markets, it's a little bit more challenging. You know, we have a phrase in our business that even turkeys fly in a windstorm, you know.
So do cows if there's enough wind.
It's easy to look good, you know, in an up market. Anyhow, this is a strategy that has done quite well. And I'm going to give you some numbers here, Russell, to look at. Over the last 20 years, the S&P has averaged 7.1% per year. Okay, that includes 2008.
Up 7.1.
Yes,
on
up 7.1.
Average. Including the
including 2008, which was down 38.
Of
right. So, okay. Keep in mind that brought the numbers down. You know,
way down.
A good bit. So, okay. The S&P has averaged 7.1%. It has turned $10,000 into $29,926. Excuse me. Yes, $29,926.
So practically tripled.
Almost tripled. Yes. So, the Dow 10 over the same period. S&P at 7.1, right? Dow 10, 14.2. Exactly
double
the S&P. And that's math, Russell. You're doing math here on the air.
I'm a math whiz.
Okay. So, but because of the power of compounding, as Ben Franklin pointed out to us, which is very important, the return is more than double over that period, over a 20-year period. If I do double the return of you over the 20-year period, I have much more than twice your
so
money.
So with the
right?
S&P, we started with 10. We ended with just under 30.
So with the Dow 10,
the Dow
we started
10.
With 10, we ended up with 105,000. $25. We had a 950% return compared to 193 in the S&P.
Wow.
So the power of compounding, as you can see, makes a huge difference over time, especially with that big of a spread. Now, compared to the Dow Jones, over the same period, the Dow did 7.7. So a little bit more than the S&P. It's 7.1. So the Dow did 7.7 over that period. Your 10,000 grew to 35,000, still not anywhere near the 105 in the Dow 10 strategy. And all we bought was 10 Dow Jones stocks every year, and we held them for a year and a day. And it beat the Dow every single year for 21 years, and it also beat the S&P every single year for 21 years. That's pretty consistent outperformance, I'd say.
You know, it doesn't really get more consistent. And is there like an average of how much it beats them over that length of time?
Well, the average is around 7%, right? About 7% per year is the excess return.
And then you use that compounding thingy you were talking about earlier, and that's where math leaves me stymied. When you start getting into algorithms and compounding and things.
Well, you know, just think about it this. If you make a 10% return this year on $100,000,
right,
you make $10,000, right? Yeah. If you make the 10% return again next year, it grows to $11,000.
Because I already have an extra $10,000.
Right, because you have the 10% on the $10,000, which is another $1,000. So that's the power of compounding. And the further out in time you go, of course, the greater that effect is, as well as the bigger the spread between the two numbers. When you have a return that is 14 versus 7, that's a huge spread to begin with. You know, even without compounding, it would still be a lot more money. But when you start compounding at a 14% per year return, you can amass a large amount of money in a short time. But over 20 years, you know, and this is a long-term strategy. This is not a strategy that you should engage in for just 1 year. I cannot discourage that any more than I can't say
so
enough.
This is not a dip your toes in and out. This is something you want.
And, you want to stay with it.
That's the part of you know, going through the volatility, not letting that get you off your game plan.
Absolutely.
That you talk about consistently. How is it expensive to get involved in the Dow 10 strategy?
No, it's very inexpensive. All we're doing is buying 10 of the stocks, and there's some unit trusts that do it, but their calculation is a little bit different than our calculation as to how we do it. So it's not the same thing if you buy the unit trust. With my clients, I buy the 10 stocks directly. And since we hold them for a year and oftentimes 2 or 3 years for each stock, there isn't much cost involved. It's pretty inexpensive way to do it. So it's very easy to do, and we do it in our managed accounts, our flat fee accounts is how I usually do it in a wrap account. So it's very inexpensive to do, and it's not difficult. It doesn't require a lot of work. I only have to trade them once a year. Does that make sense?
Right.
Once per year, that's all we do. So the rest of the year, we sit. And that's the hard part for some people, is to sit and be patient and wait and see what happens. And, you know, I talked last week about don't compare your return to the market and don't worry about what the market does. You got to worry about what your return is. If your return needs to be 10%, you know, to get to your goal, that's the number that matters. And I don't know if I'm going to have time to talk about it, but the S&P 500 is very misleading. It was up 28% last year. Apple alone is 5% of the S&P 500's return because it's market cap weighted.
Because it's huge.
The top five stocks in the S&P, which includes Microsoft and Amazon and Apple, are 15% of the S&P 500.
So 15% of the 500 companies.
Of the returns, of all the returns of the S&P.
So are among the top three companies.
Right. And well, since Apple was up so much last year, it skewed the S&P numbers way to the upside.
Yeah,
and that it typically does that. And so people think the market was up 28%, but it really wasn't up anywhere near as much.
I gotcha. All right. So we're going to talk more about that Dow 10 strategy. And you could learn more about it quite simply by calling Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Because if you do that, if you call Dan's office, he's going to send you a paper about that strategy, but he's also going to send you the book, Juggling with Knives, which talks about investment strategies in turbulent times like these. Again, the number 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address for the free book and information. This is Money Talk on 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Money Talk here on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's news and talk. Coming up in less than 30 minutes now, it's time for Fox News Sunday. If you have questions for us today, you can text Dan at 95920. He's giving away books as he always does, and this one teaches you how to juggle knives.
That's right.
Kind
of. Juggling with Knives, Smart Investing in the Age of Volatility. We'll send you a free copy of it. along with the information on the Dow 10 strategy, just give us a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address. When you get our voicemail, we'll send it out to you. And that was Dr. Hook, by the way.
Dr. Hook and
Medicine Men, or whatever it is. Medicine Show? What am I thinking?
Medicine Show, yeah. Traveling Medicine Show, I think it was.
Anyhow, great song.
Been a while.
Sylvia's Mother is that song, I think is what that was, if I remember correctly. But
their big hit was Cover of the Rolling Stones.
Yes, but they had several.
They did have a few hits.
Really good songs, yes. The volatility of volatility, Russell.
In other words, how crazy does the craziness drive you?
When crazy gets crazier, right? You could say. The S&P 500, I've enumerated numerous times, has a standard deviation of around 18% per year.
Okay, so
that's the movement of the squiggly lines.
How much the squiggly line for the very top
deviates
highest
from the
one to the very bottom of the lowest one,
right.
from the middle.
From the mean, yes, from the line through the average, okay. Or what we call least squares line, yes. How far the average data point is from the mean, okay, is what the standard deviation measures. Now, this is a statistical number. This is not an emotion. This is just a number I'm giving here, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2008, that number went from 18% up to 96%. That's
wow.
A rather large increase. And I was doing the math here while we were in commercial. It's 500% increase, basically, in your standard deviation. So that's a good bit of movement, if you would. And as you can see, volatility is not constant. People always think of volatility as constant. Our mathematical models and our computers have to gauge volatility as a constant because they really can't look at it as a variable. Okay, because if your variable is changing, you have to predict what that variable is. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it's
difficult.
A floating point on which you're basing all your math.
Right.
So how do you do that?
That's
when you
right.
can't predict where that point's going to flow to next.
Exactly. And that's exactly the point. It's trying to figure out what Trump's next Twitter will be, his tweet will be. You know.
Right. Good luck with that.
So, anyhow, it's just difficult to do. You're trying to measure this, and so what we have to be aware of is that the volatility changes when fear increases. Volatility increases and vice versa. And they kind of, it's a two-way street kind of thing. You know, they both impact the other. Fear impacts volatility and volatility impacts fear. Because as volatility increases, people get more fearful. And as they get more fearful, they sell, which increases the volatility. So it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy to a degree. But what I want to say really is volatility is not a number. It's a feeling. It's subjective. It's not objective. Wall Street wants us to think it is objective, that it is a number that can be measured, a la standard deviation, right?
Right.
But you and I both know, Russell, volatility, as it, like any news story, affects different people differently, right? Volatility is the same way. Investor A is all stocks all the time. He's always bought stocks, never bought anything but stocks. His parents bought stocks. His grandparents bought stocks. That's all he likes is stocks, right? Investor B, she says, it's CDs for me, nothing else but CDs for me. Her parents have never invested in the market, and she doesn't think that's a good idea. Now, if the market, both these people have a portfolio of stocks, and the market drops 10%, we know their response is not going to be the same. Does that make sense? At least I can tell you that from 28 years of doing this. Dealing with clients like that is not going to be the same. Investor A is probably not going to do anything. In fact, he may not even be aware that the market's doing what it's doing.
He's going to ride it out
because
he's always been in stocks.
Yes.
He's going to be in stocks tomorrow, and he's going to like...
Right.
Roll with the punches.
Right. He has a comfort level with that, right? If you will.
Right.
He's very comfortable with it. Investor B, on the other hand, is going to panic. She's going to flip out probably and wig out and probably call up her broker and scream and then sell all her positions and liquidate. So.
And lock in her losses.
Right. And lock in her losses in the process. But what I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to say which one's right or wrong necessarily. I'm just trying to say that their reaction will be different. Their response will be entirely different no matter what the market scenario
because
is.
Because she's a CD investor for reasons of stability and safety.
Right.
And you know exactly what you're going to get back, even though these days it's basically nothing. It's less than inflation, right? Really?
Yes, somewhere around there, yes. And, you know, Nick Murray's a guy whose books I read a lot, writes books for advisors like myself, and he once said something I think is very important. He said, the amount of volatility we can withstand is in direct relation to our emotional maturity. Now, to me, that's a profound, very profound statement, but it's also very true. But a lot of people probably don't want to admit to that, but I will tell you, it's a matter of can you let logic overcome emotions? And how well can you do that? Does this make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
what
I'm referring to emotional maturity. You can let emotions run your portfolio, but that's in my opinion, being emotionally immature, for lack of a better term. If you're more mature, you can think about this from a long-term viewpoint and say, well, where's the market going to be 5 years from now? Let's say this was 2008, and let's say the market's down 30%. We're looking at it today. All what we should think about is not where the market is now, but where's it going to be at 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Is it going to be higher? Do we think it's going to be higher? I would say in most cases, most people would agree that it's going to be higher. The problem is when we get into that scenario, we can't focus on the what's going to do 5 years from now. All we can think about is where it is right now and, oh my gosh, I'm down 30% or whatever it might be. And we tend to let the short-term, rule our long-term investment decisions, which is a really bad way to do it. You shouldn't let short-term events rule your long-term investment decision. Investing is always a long game. It is never a short game, not in the market at least. If you're in the short game, you should not be in the market. You
should probably be at the casino.
Or in the CD, in money market, or the casino. You're right. But
I'm being sort of facetious.
I realize. That's all right.
But your whole thing, your whole theme, and we've been doing this show for a few years now, is look, have a plan and stick with the plan. The market is going to fluctuate. Things are going to happen. Stuff happens.
Absolutely.
But long term is you got to keep your eye on the prize, I guess.
Right. Like the Dow 10 that we were talking about earlier, the Dow 10 is a 5 to 10 year strategy. It's not a 1 year strategy. It's certainly not a 3 month strategy. It would probably not be a good 3 month strategy at all. And I would tell you that up front, you should not invest in this unless you can do it for a multi-year period, because the returns will fluctuate from year to year. Yes, the returns have been good, but they're going to fluctuate from year to year. And to some degree, they're tied to the market. They're going to be higher when the market's higher. Just like last year, we saw the really good returns. The market had a great year. In some years, they're not going to be so great. They're not going to be nearly as high. So you cannot let a three-month dip in the market change your investment strategy. If you buy Dow 10 and you say, I'm going to flip this once a year, I'm going to roll these over once a year, and I'm going to do it for 5 years. I'm going to do it for at least 5 years. And 3 months into it, Russell, the market's down 20%, and you call me up and you say, I want to go to cash. And I'm going to say, is this part of your investment plan? Was this part of the plan we discussed 3 months ago? Obviously, it wasn't. But the problem is we let the market and the events dictate what our plans do, and we let that change our plan from A to B. And you just can't invest that way. No matter which plan you're going from or to, you can't keep changing plans. And I've run into investors, a couple of years, who have a tremendous amount of a lack of patience. And it just doesn't work. They want to keep trying to change their strategy. And I keep saying, learn to be still. You've got to sit still.
I was sitting here thinking of a football analogy. And by the way, which reminds me of our buddy Steve Money, who's with us this Sunday. Hi, Steve. Hope you're listening.
He's not feeling well. He's a little bit under the weather.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes.
But he's a big football guy. But back to the analogy. So if you're a football coach and you've been running a certain type of offense, all season long, you get into the first quarter, you're down 14 points. Can you imagine the coach gathering the team on the side and say, okay, guys, we're putting in the wishbone. Yeah. We're putting in a whole new offense starting right now, right? Because that would be insane. Yeah. And yet, if you're an investor, that's what people kind of tend to do, want to do.
And, I can almost always tell when a client comes into me what they're going to be like as an investor. And I try to ask the right questions to get them to tell me what they're going to be like. And I typically look at their past experience, like how long have they had their advisor? Well, I've had them 6 months and I want a new advisor. Well, that's a red flag right there. That's not a good sign. Conversely, if they say I've had the same advisor for 20 years, that tells me they have a little more patience, a little more endurance. They're willing to stay with things for a little bit longer. If they come in to see me and they say, I got an email from somebody in Nigeria, I want to buy this stock or that stock or gold or whatever it might be, I'm like, no, next, I'm not your guy. I can tell you I'm not your guy. Or if they come in and see me and say, I want to pick all my own stocks, I tell them, you need to call Schwab. Go see TD Ameritrade or Schwab and knock yourself out. And they may do fine. I'm not saying they won't. I just tell them that I'm not their guy because I'm not going to have these conversations with them about what we should do and have them go back and forth, so to speak, and have them argue with me over which Dow 10 stocks we're going to buy, because I have people that all the time try to cherry pick the Dow 10 stocks and say, I don't want this one. I don't want that one. And you know what? They always end up being the best performing stocks in there. The ones they don't want to buy always end up being the best performing stocks. And this is why I don't ever monkey with the results and how it works. I don't ever try to change them or twist them around or do anything against them. I just buy all 10 and I leave it alone.
Because you have a plan. And you stick with the plan.
And just like you said, who would have thought Apple would have been the top performer last year?
And almost doubled?
Yes.
In stock price? Holy cow. Hey, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, it's called Juggling with Knives. You can get it by calling Dan's office at 918-398-8387. He'll also send you the information on that Dow 10 strategy that we've been talking about all morning. 918-398-8387. Leave your name and address so they can send you the book and the info. More Money Talk after this on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk.
He looked down into her brown eyes and said, say a prayer for me.
Welcome back to Money Talk here on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 8 minutes or so, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. And your forecast from Fox 23. And yep, we're going to make 50 today. Hang in there. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, Fox News Sunday. And of course, you can always text Dan with them with your questions during Money Talk. You can text him at 95920. He gives away books every week and information on some of his investment strategies. And this week, you can get Dow 10 info and a book called...
Yes, Juggling with Knives, Smart Investing in the Age of Volatility. How not to let your mentality or your mindset rule your investment world and destroy your investment world, for lack of a better term. And we'll send you the information in the book absolutely free, no cost, no obligation. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address and you get our voicemail. We'll send that information out to you absolutely free. Russell, you know, we talk about this mindset stuff and not letting the client interfere with their own investment process, right? You know, hedge funds, which are really available to high-end net worth investors, for lack of a better term, they typically tell people you have a 10-year lockup. They say, Russell, you bring us your money, don't call us for 10 years. And they're going to tell you, you can't get your money out for 10 years, by the way. I think that every investor would be better served if those were the rules.
Like once you invest,
for investing,
you're locked in. For 10 years.
Don't call us for 10 years. Not that you shouldn't see your returns. I don't have a problem with that, but you shouldn't be allowed to deviate from the plan for 10 years, is my opinion, because I think most investors would be much better served. Nowadays, we have technology who's just going the opposite, totally opposite extreme. You know, when we started doing internet trading in the late 90s, mid-90s, the average hold period before that was, I think, around 6 months.
Okay, so somebody would buy a stock, and on average, they'd hold it for six months.
In the late 1990s, it got down to less than 2 days. It didn't help. This doesn't help investors.
There's your volatility.
Now it's probably 20 minutes. You know, I don't even know what it is today. It's probably, you know, less than a day, I'd have to imagine. But the problem there is you're only making money for one entity when you do that. And it's not yourself. You know, it's the people that are doing the trades for you. I mean, you're making them rich is what you're doing. But you're not really helping yourself any. So we don't make money by buying stocks. We make money by owning stocks.
And so this Dow 10 strategy, you said, that is a long-term strategy. You
Absolutely.
Should plan to get in this for 5 to 10 years at
yes.
a minimum.
Yes.
And now I hear you saying is, and you should put the money in that you can leave in for 5 or 10 years that
yes.
you're not going to need. So how much money would it take? What's the minimum investment to get in on the Dow 10?
Well, on our wrap accounts that we do, it's about $20,000, but we can also buy them on a commission basis for about $10,000. So we could do it for $10,000.
Okay, so can you explain the difference between a wrap account and a
wrap
commission?
A wrap account is a flat fee per year where you pay a set amount per year. A commission basis is where you pay per trade, basically. If you trade, you know, it's the old style commission. Back in the day, in the 90s and the 80s, everything was done on a commission basis. We've gotten away from that in the industry. We've gone to more wrap accounts nowadays because they're cheaper. For if you're trading, you know, very much, they're cheaper. And so I like doing the wrap accounts because they're cheaper for the client. The only problem I have is LPL's minimum is $20,000 for the wrap account. That's where I'm kind of handcuffed.
And that's who you're
bit.
Licensed through.
Yes. So I have to go. LPL. I have to go with their rules, with LPL Financial's rules. And so, you know, that we're looking at $20,000 there, but we can also do them on a lower amount at $10,000. We could buy the other Dow 10 with the UIT, the unit trust. However, that's not the same methodology that we use, so it's going to get different results, and you have to keep that in mind. Now, I have another reason for why I look at the Dow 10, Russell.
Okay.
They pay these things called dividends. Some of these companies do.
That sounds like money.
Yes.
Money to us, the investors.
And you may have heard of Coca-Cola, that little company.
Yes.
A little soft drink company. I looked at their dividend history going back a ways, In 2012, Coca-Cola paid a $1 per share dividend. Okay? They currently pay a $1.60 dividend for 2.94% yield. Okay? So it went from $1 a year to $1.60.
2012 to $1.60.
In 7 years.
Okay.
That's a 6.94% growth per year.
Okay.
That's roughly double the rate of inflation, a little bit more than double the rate of inflation. And it's growing consistently. And I can tell you Coca-Cola has a long track record of paying dividends. And I mean long. We're talking many, many, many years. So this is one of the reasons people like companies like these. They continue to pay dividends. And you and I were talking during the break about Goldman Sachs being in the, I mentioned, is in the Dow 10
this year. It's
going
to be in the Dow 10 now. Yeah.
This year. You know, this is one of the most profitable companies in the world. In 2018, I don't have the 19 numbers, but in 2018, they did $35 billion in sales, on which they had $20 billion in pre-tax profit. They had $15 billion in expenses, and that was it.
Wow.
Everything else went to taxes in the bottom line. $20 billion on 35.
So there's your low overhead,
yeah.
Amazingly
that's a profitable company.
Efficient. Oh,
that's
my
a
gosh.
Profitable. And their name, their franchise name is the best name in the financial business worldwide.
So they've got that going
for them. Bar none. There's nobody that has a better name.
All right. Well, you've got a pretty good name, Mr. Dan Witham, with your folks here in Tulsa. And you can get a free book from Mr. Dan Witham. That's one reason so many people love him. He just sends out books like candy. This week's book is called Juggling with Knives. All you got to do is call his office at 918-398-8387. Leave your name and address so I can send you the book. 918-398-8387 plus free info on that Dow 10 strategy. And we'll be back with more Money Talk next week on 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's News and Talk.
You've been listening to Money Talk with Dan Witham, a Wall Street veteran with over 25 years' experience in the securities industry. The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individuals. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. All investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Join us again next week for Money Talk.